Council, good morning. This is the case of Everett versus Serb. And we will begin with introductions from the court. I am Mike Hevekin, the Chief Justice, and now by seniority and to service on the court, the other members of the court will introduce themselves.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay Miller Lerman.
William Castle. Good morning.
Stephanie Stacy. Good morning.
I am Jeff Funk. Good morning.
Jonathan Papik.
And John Friedenberg.
Mr. McKernan, are you with us today?
I am. Thank you, Chief Justice.
Good morning to you. And Ms. Peterson, are you with us today?
I am. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning to you. Counsel, do either of you have questions before we begin?
None from the appellant, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Mr. McKernan, then, again, good morning to you, and you may proceed.
Thank you, and may it please the court. My name is Brian McKernan, and I'm here today representing the interests of Joseph and Marilyn Serb. I would like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal, if possible.
You may.
Thank you. This appeal arises from a judgment entered by the County Court of Lincoln County in connection with the construction of a boundary fence pursuant to Nebraska statute. We believe that the county court erred in a number of reasons and would ask that this court therefore reverse the decision of the county courts and enter judgment in favor of the appellants.
What did the judgment that you're appealing do?
So, Justice Pavic, the judgment determined the substantive rights of the parties. And it then, in the form of a judgment, provided the appellees, it provided my clients 10 days to object or let the appellants or appellees know if we were going to build our portion of the boundary fence ourselves, or if not, then the appellees had the chance to do the work themselves and then submit an itemized receipt to us for either an objection or payment. And so we submit that judgment determined the rights and left nothing else for us to do other than to either object or to construct a fence or object when a invoice would be submitted to us to the extent we had any objections.
So was that county court order a final order?
We believe it was, Your Honor. And I think that kind of goes a little bit in terms of what I was talking about with Justice Papik in terms of the issue is this a final appealable order? And we think it was because it affected a substantial right and determined the action and presents a judgment, which is one of the statutory definitions of a final order under Nebraska 25-1902. Is this court has recently
What is the substantial right?
The substantial right is the obligation to construct or pay for a boundary fence pursuant to Nebraska statute.
And in the county court order, what has been determined? What have the rights of the parties been determined? There's a lot of qualifiers in this, like, we don't know the cost yet, and you got 10 days to do something else, and so on. My question goes to, is the case over at the county level?
Thank you, Justice Lerman. And part of that goes into one of the bases for our appeal. But we believe that the case is over at the county level because—
Counsel, what will happen if the fence is built without your client's participation and a bill is given to you and you object to it? What's the process then?
If the bill is given to us and we object, then we would go back in front of the courts and have a discussion. I guess the question—
So is the case over?
Absolutely. Initially? Absolutely, because if you look at the flip side, Your Honor, what happens to us in the event that a bill is presented to us and we don't have an objection? Or that bill would be presented to us 30 days after, or more than 30 days after that judgment, and we don't have an objection to that particular bill, but yet we have objections to the holding of the county court. And for that reason, and I think, you know, one case that comes into play is this court's decision in Evans versus Evans, where it says a final appealable order exists when substantial rights of the parties to the actions that are determined, even though the case is retained for determination of matters incidental thereto. And in this particular case, there was a final judgment. The court used the term in the order that it issued. It issued an order, and then within that order, it issued a judgment. And therefore, it determined the substantive rights, i.e. my client's obligation to build a fence or contribute to the cost of the fence under this statute. And to the extent we didn't want to build our portion of the fence, or we didn't have any objections to the cost of that fence, there's nothing left to be done. And for that reason, we do believe that there was a final determination and that it is a final appealable order pursuant to 1902.
Is it fair to say that the finality was conditional depending on whether you had an objection or not?
I don't believe so. I think quite the opposite. I think the finality was there. The only condition was whether or not we had an objection. There was an order that was requiring us to build half the fence or make payment when presented to us.
I beg your pardon, to follow up on Justice Papik's line, in a conditional order, not everything is decided and therefore not final and appealable. So when we look at this order and with all of the qualifiers to which I referred, are you going to pay money? Are you going to build a fence? Are you going to participate? How do we know? Isn't the very subject of a contribution to answer those questions and thereafter appeal?
So the conditions that are present in that order don't affect the order itself. I mean, the order is clear in terms of what the court was ordering to be done. And in fact, the order would be self-sustaining in the event that we elected to build the fence, or in the event that we elected to pay whatever invoice may be submitted to us. And so because of that, when we talk about conditions, I don't think there were any other conditions to have a final judgment. There were potential conditions that could come into play, but respectfully, they just as easy could not have come into play. And we were therefore in the position of, if we disagree with the reasoning and the conclusions, but don't disagree with an estimate that's presented to us, or that estimate gets presented to us more than 30 days after our right to file an appeal, then we've now been prejudiced, and there was finality in that particular order. So we absolutely believe that this was a final appealable order. We take issue with how it was written, obviously, and respectfully to the county court, but in terms of whether or not this was a final appealable order pursuant to 25-1902, it absolutely was, because these conditions may or may not arise. And this court absolutely has jurisdiction to hear that, or this particular appeal. And we think when it does take a look at this particular appeal, it's going to look, and there's a number of issues. The first comes in to play. Unfortunately, this isn't the first dispute that the parties were engaged in. In 2005, there was a previous lawsuit. And in that previous lawsuit, the original suit was filed to discuss the boundaries. This section of land was purchased in 1896. At the time, it was owned by one person. When it was purchased by a family in 1996, it was split into six different parcels. That 2005 lawsuit originally dealt with the boundaries. And there was a amended answer and a counterclaim that was brought by the appellees in this particular lawsuit, where they affirmatively put the boundary fence in the existence of a boundary fence in between section 19 and 24, which is what we're talking about at issue in that lawsuit. That lawsuit was settled and then dismissed in 2006 with prejudice. In connection with that dismissal, there was also an agreement. And that agreement took the form of an easement that's on file that gives the appellees the exact right they came to the court in 2018 to obtain. And that's the right to enter onto section 24 and install, repair, or maintain this boundary fence, which, by the way, they admitted had already existed before. And that agreement is, I see I'm out of time.
You are, Mr. McKernan. So thank you very much. And we will proceed to Ms. Peterson. Good morning again to you, and you may proceed.
Good morning. Thank you, Chief. May it please the court, I am Lindsay Peterson here on behalf of the appellees, Mr. and Mrs. Everett, who initially filed the petition and amended complaint for the erection of a boundary fence. Now, I'm keying in on the issue that you guys addressed with the appellant here and whether or not this court has jurisdiction. I don't want to skip over Judge Piccolo's district court order, which was while we were the winners in the order, I think he spent a lot of time and we appreciate the effort that he put into the order. So looking at the district court order, there's two issues, the district court order and the county court order. The district court order, this court has provided a substantial case law that the district court order being remanded back to the county court is and can be a final judgment so long as there is nothing for the district court to do, and that would be the case here. However, there is the underlying county court case, which is the issue as to whether or not that is a final order, which would have even provided the district court and the appellate level court the ability and the jurisdiction to address the issues appealed by Mr. McKernan and his clients.
So where we find ourselves after the first portion of this case argument was questioning whether or not the county court order final appealable, and therefore if it was, then the district court could acquire jurisdiction, but if it weren't, the district court never acquired jurisdiction. So can you address your remarks to the finality of the county court order? And you all brought a contribution action, and what are you going to get?
Yeah, so I concur with Mr. McKernan with regard to his statements as to jurisdiction, and I'm not going to restate what his argument was with regard to jurisdiction and finality. However, as this court is aware, just because Mr. McKernan and I agree, that doesn't grant the jurisdiction to the district court or now to this court. And so in addition to Mr. McKernan's arguments, I think that the court can also look at the county court's opinion as essentially being a bifurcated opinion, and in that there was one piece of the order that was determined that the fence should be built and allowed the plaintiffs to remove trees, which was a requirement, a statutory requirement, that unless the parties agree to remove trees, you have to have a court order, and that was provided for in the county court order. And then the second part, which would be then the contribution portion, whether it was the construction or monetary relief. And the plaintiffs asked for either of those. The statutes provide for a proportionate contribution, and that doesn't require a monetary payment. So we asked for either the appellants to provide their equitable share by constructing. And that maybe goes back to prior to the statutes being enacted, when we had visitors, and we'd take visitors out and stand and look at each other at the middle of the fence and use the right hand rule, and the landowner would bull fence halfway or to the right, thereby implying an equitable proportion of the fence being divided between the two landowners. So at the end of the day, with regard to the finality of the county court opinion, if the court looks at even a bifurcated type of an opinion here, where there were two distinct judgments, one, build the fence, two, the contribution. And that's, like I said, in addition to Mr. McKiernan's argument that the county court did in fact enter a final judgment by requiring the parties, even though the court required the parties to take further action.
Ms. Peterson, if one of the reasons for finality of judgment is for judicial economy, how would your argument that this should be split essentially into two different cases or two judgments, how does that relate to judicial economy?
The judicial economy, I think, is the entire purpose of this particular statute in allowing adjoining neighbors the ability to have an effective and timely resolution to erect boundary fences, which keeps good neighbors and is essential for the operation of agricultural life in Western Nebraska. So with regard to judicial economy, I think it was important for the court to address how these parties could move forward. We were pushing for an order as quick as possible because cattle were getting ready to be turned out, and we needed to have some finality with regard to how the fence would be constructed and who, how it would be contributed to between the two parties. And so we think that that's the basis of the statute as a whole, is that the legislature put the statute in place to provide judicial economy for and timeliness for parties to be able to resolve these issues. And that keeps civil disputes at a minimum and allows parties to avoid bigger issues and bigger problems with regard to animal trespass and things of that nature.
Counsel, if we assume that your bifurcation theory is correct, that that's what the county court judge was thinking, wouldn't someone still need to make a motion under 2513.15 before one of the bifurcated sections of that of the proceedings was appealed?
Your Honor, I would agree with you. I think
that down here?
It was not. And so I think there certainly is an issue of jurisdiction, and that's why we're talking about it here today. That at the end of the day, if the court determines that there wasn't a final appealable order, then I expect we'll be back up here again at a later date, which again goes back to the judicial economy of trying to get the issues resolved. And if the district court didn't have jurisdiction and the Supreme Court now doesn't have jurisdiction, we're continuing to expand the time and money that these parties are spending on something that should be a relatively simple statute, and a procedural matter that's been set up by the legislature.
What resolution would you seek from this court?
Your Honor, we'd ask that the court affirm the district court order. The district court order, as I had indicated from the beginning, I think was well thought out. And then that would put us in a position where the district court remanded back to the county court. And at that point, then the final resolution would be that the parties would continue to build the, would construct the fence, and then would be.
But I beg your pardon. So this excursion to this court has stalled everything on the ground. Is that correct?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat your question?
During the pendency of this appeal, what did the parties do, or what were they authorized to do under the previous county court order during the pendency of this appeal?
So the parties have actually not taken any action during the pendency of the appeal, waiting for the finality of the appeal. The county court authorized.
So I beg your pardon. So that is, I would say then this trip to the Supreme Court is not effecting a prompt resolution on the ground, is it?
We would absolutely agree with that, and that's part of the problem where we are today, that it's been over almost 2 years since we've filed our initial petition. And so we are very hopeful that in the near future we will have a statutory fence that will be erected along the boundary line that will prevent cattle from being passing, from passing. And in the meantime, my client has taken some action which he can do on his land to prevent his cattle from leaving his property, but that's obviously not what the parties intended, and the end result here. It's not a good result, and it's not something that's a long-term solution. So with that being said, Your Honors, Mr. McKernan got to some of the merits, and I think the briefs and both the county court order and the district court order speak very eloquently to the merits of the case, as well as our brief. And so I appreciate your time this morning, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Madam Bailiff, do we have time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal, Mr. McKernan. Counsel, I want to thank you again, but before we go, Ms. Peterson, I did not want to interrupt you for a number of reasons while you were presenting, but you did refer to the court at one point in time as you guys. As you know, that's a bit of a bugaboo with the court for a number of reasons, and we are here at the law school today. So one of the reasons we are here is to learn lessons. So law school students and counsel, please do not refer to the court as you guys.
Chief, if I may, Mr. Hang specifically instructed me about that because he did that in front of you and your court, in front of a school in Omaha. And so my deepest apologies, and I was already instructed not to do that.
Thank you very much. We greatly appreciate it, counsel. And you are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is, in fact, In Re Estate of Schmidt. Counsel, thank you very much.